Tri-County Contracting, worry-free roofing, siding, and windows. To sign up for a free estimate, get info on their worry-free roof tune-up or their free yearly roof inspections, or to get an instant roof quote, visit them online at tricountycontractingwi.com.
So I was teasing Eric before because all morning he keeps showing me his screen like, look, up.
Yeah, here it is.
Yeah, here it is. Like, I don't know. Look.
Do you want to see?
Largely the same as to where it was.
There was before. One point where I wasn't even sure if it was moving or that it was even a video. And then a bird flew by. So then I was like.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, this is Wisconsin's Morning News. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Petrano.
.14 on this Monday morning. What was this guy thinking? I cannot imagine a circumstance, least of all this one, where posting a picture like this would seem okay to anyone. Alderman in Waukegan, Illinois, who is apparently running for mayor in that community, that mayoral election early next year, is accused of posting a picture of a human arm on his Facebook page. Which, as I said, can't really think of a circumstance where that's okay to begin with, but some of you who keep up with the news here might know where this is going. The picture is apparently that of human remains recovered in Lake Michigan in Waukegan late last week. You talked about it on Friday, right, when they discovered this?
News broke on it late Thursday.
There is the presumption that these are the remains in part of Sade Robinson, the woman who was missing and now found murdered and dismembered. Some of her body parts turning up on the shore of Lake Michigan, both here in southeast Wisconsin and now possibly there in Waukegan. Reporting here by friend of the program, Mary Spicuzza, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, as well as one of the other reporters there, David Clary. Family members grieving the murder of Sade Robinson were disgusted to see a social media post from a Waukegan alderman that included a photograph of a human arm found on the Illinois shoreline. Robinson's mother, Sheena Scarborough, told the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, "I respectfully want him held accountable," Scarborough said in reference to Waukegan Alderman Keith Turner. "I want him reprimanded." So you reported on the discovery of the remains Friday, but at that point, this had not come to light.
No, nothing about a post from the Waukegan Facebook. All we knew at that time is that there was an arm that was found and that it was likely to be that of Sade Robinson's, yet still were doing the DNA testing.
And also backing up quickly, the absolute tragic part of this story that continues is the fact that this poor family is dealing with the terrible reality that, you know, Sade was murdered and cut to pieces, but that they still don't have all of her remains to lay her properly to rest. And that tragedy continues for this family. You had the story over the weekend where her sister accepted on her behalf posthumously her degree from MATC. They had their commencement on Sunday, yes?
At Pfizer.
So all those emotions around this, and then the discovery of these additional remains, which, to my knowledge, have not yet been officially identified as those of Sade Robinson. But again, connecting dots, and people believe that that's likely what happened here. I can't find the post. I searched the guy's Facebook page, didn't see it, so I'm either not looking in the right spot, or he has wisely deleted it.
Well, I was questioning, like, was it to be humorous, or was it like, hey, breaking news, look what they found, or what was the motivation?
It seems like it's political. So remember I told you the guy's running for mayor?
Ah, okay.
Okay, so I saw an image of the post elsewhere as I searched around that did not any longer include the picture of the arm, but apparently this was the post that had originally accompanied the picture. And it starts out with a couple of emojis of the shocked face, like that sort of clowny face where the palms are on the face and it's, you know, wide open mouth. So a couple of emojis and then this statement, "Shocking discovery at Waukegan Beach!" exclamation point. And then it goes on to criticize the mayor's office for not releasing more information immediately. So I'm guessing this guy, maybe he didn't know the story. And maybe he's thinking something bad has happened here on the beach. And, well, no word from City Hall on what's going on down at the beach. But, like, maybe take a beat before you would post something like that. So I don't know for certain, but it sounds like perhaps the motivation for posting this was political.
Isn't that amazing?
Because the mayor's running for re-election. So he cracks on City Hall and he'll put me in the office and you'll know what's going on there on the beach.
Boy, that race for Waukegan mayor is so hot.
It is now.
Jeez.
So again, I mentioned the Robinson family just disgusted by this, rightly. Sheena Scarborough, Sade's mother, went on to say that the family's very disappointed, according to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, by the Post. She said, "It disrespects my daughter, Sade Carlina Robinson. He disrespects our legacy on her behalf and our family." And she went on to urge the people of Waukegan not to support this guy for mayor.
Well,
so it sounds like that's the rest of that story. Whether he knew what that was about or not is unclear. Not seeing that he has publicly commented on that, but others have sought that comment.
And the searching continued in that area after that arm was discovered late last week, on the off chance or
right, no
possibility that something else might pop up.
Remains to our knowledge have been discovered. And then, like we said, that has to go testing on those remains. And then you send that to the state crime lab. They match it up with DNA right. And whatnot. So we'll wait on that official word. Meanwhile, you have Maxwell Anderson. He's the individual who's been charged in connection with her death. He is still behind bars.
Sold his house last week.
And next court appearance is later this summer. Is it July? It's either June or
say
early
June.
July.
Yeah.
But either way, that part of the thing is still pending. But there's still a lot of evidence that may still be out there. And in this case, it got political there in Waukegan, Illinois. 8:20 on Wisconsin's Morning News.
Vince, have you ever thought about going to the cemetery to see a movie?
Nope.
Or have you ever stopped by the cemetery in order to stretch your legs or maybe attend a run walk?
I have never thought about going to the cemetery other than to bury someone or to honor that person after they have been buried, or what do you call it when you end up in like the mausoleum or whatever?
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah, yep. But whatever. Interred. I never thought of going to the cemetery for other than those reasons.
So cemeteries make money by a couple of things. Selling plots, opening and closing graves, installing and maintaining headstones. That's basically it. I'm sure there's a couple other ones, but those are the main ones. But MarketWatch has a story about how people's preferences for death care have swung from the formal burials to alternative ones. So there's more than half now considering other options. So that means cemeteries need to change in order to meet society's new tastes. Now, that doesn't mean we got to change our business plan and figure out new ways to bury people. You can still have the plots and whatnot, but you have to find different ways to make money. So cemeteries are big money, but when you see this many people shifting in what they're going to do, you need to shift as well. Laurel Hill Cemetery in Philadelphia mixes some of its public green space and community space with theater events, tours. They have birders show up, people that like to sit and just watch the birds go through, you know, and birding, if you will,
okay, sure.
Which is a huge hobby
yeah.
A lot of people have. Book clubs. We'll meet, and they have pictures of this. MarketWatch has pictures of people like meeting amongst the headstones, like chatting about different things. That's at Laurel Hill. The historic Congressional Cemetery says dog walkers help them figure out their cemetery because dog walkers have been going through there, and that's what sparked them to realize, hey, we got to do something with this space to make it look nicer, and then maybe we can figure out ways to make some money off it and raise funds. Locally, Forest Home Cemetery has done different events. The Friends of Prairie Home Cemetery in Waukesha, they've had a pet walk. They've had walking tours, bake sales, 50-50 raffles, games.
So these aren't necessarily like memorial-themed events
no.
or whatever. It's just, this is a space. It's open to the public, and therefore we invite folks to come here
right.
for reasons other than to memorialize the folks mm-hmm. who are enshrined here.
Sometimes there's been quartets in some areas or these movies that are screened. So Steve Scafidi, I don't know if you knew this about Scafidi.
I did not.
So he hosts the Political Power Hour at 9 o'clock.
That I knew.
Here on WDTMJ. He has been one of the main volunteer types. I'm sure he's got an official title at the Oakwood Rest Cemetery in Oak Creek. And he says, yeah, if you have events like this, that can work.
I can see that if a cemetery has the space, they have a paved route through it. You might see that. The thing you have to be careful with, though, is that when you have people who want to go visit their loved ones at the cemetery, too much of that can be not welcome because sometimes they just want the peace and quiet. There are people literally who will go to their loved one's gravesite and sit there for hours. Yeah. They're just looking for peace and quiet.
Yeah, so you got to remember that. But if you have these events, a lot of these different cemeteries have said this has worked. I don't see it as abnormal or creepy. I know qualitatively it's different. but to me, it brings life to this place, said one cemetery owner at a different one. I've been to other cemeteries and they're kind of stale. Dead spaces, no pun intended. This is not. It's very alive. It's a special place to be buried in. There's energy there. It's almost like a park as well.
Yeah, I think as long as folks who aren't interested in whatever else you've got going today and are there to visit their mother or father or, you know, someone who's buried there and wants some peace and quiet and that time with that person, as long as they're not disturbed in some way or it detracts from the experience that they frankly have paid for.
Well, right? That's a great point.
I already paid in.
Right.
So, you know, I could see, and I could also see people with folks buried somewhere who are like really glad to see that. Yes, this is.
Well, especially if it helps enhance the look of the cemetery. And that's what Steve said. One of the other comments he made was, look, if you make it look nice and put the energy and time into like, that's also going to attract more people to get a plot.
What do you ultimately do, though? I think it raises an interesting question. If you're a cemetery that's landlocked and you're out of room, how do you afford to continue to maintain that property?
Right.
I'm sure this has happened before. I just don't know what the answer is.
And some of them don't.
Right.
They're not maintained. We've had those stories too.
As well. 8:29 on Wisconsin's Morning News. Is it up still or no?
Greg,
did he make you put it up again?
I warned him that we might have to put it up again. I don't know.
Oh, no, he's working on it.
So you can see it. We're talking about the container ship Dolly that crashed. This is the one that crashed into the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore. Okay. Tragic story.
Yes,
indeed. It caused a collapse in March. They have now refloated it back to the port of Baltimore. Amy Kawada with WJZ-TV.
What once was the Dolly that sat here in the middle of the Patapsco River for nearly 2 months? All you can see now is really the crane and the bridge. The Dolly is on the move. It's now turning, making its way to the port.
Yeah, so they had dozens of tugboats working the scene on this thing, moving this giant cargo ship, which still has its payload, it appears, as they slowly moved it 1 mile per hour, 2.5 miles down the river, and now it is docking. It took about 3 hours, and we've been following it very closely.
You've been following it very closely. Don't get me wrong. This is an important story and a very important step as they ultimately have to spend billions of dollars rebuilding that bridge, still continuing to examine what happened.
Opening up that
unload that ship. Right. You still have the sailors who are on board that ship here in the U.S., I think most, if not all of them. So it's an important story. The reason that I've been laughing at you through the morning is Eric has been fascinated by the actual live stream.
Live stream video of it.
That showed, unless you looked really closely, virtually no movement. What'd you say, 1 mile an hour?
1 mile per hour.
And it's a big ship, so it barely looked like it. And all morning, you put it back up again, Greg?
Yeah, it's up right
now. Okay, so Greg put it on the live stream here, 855-616-1620, text watch.
You can kind of see it in the background. It's not a great video.
You can click watch now at WTMJ.com or on our WTMJ mobile app, or we're streaming live on YouTube with the video as well. So I was teasing Eric before because all morning he keeps showing me his screen, like, look, up.
Yeah, here it is.
Here it is. Like, I don't know. Look.
Do you want to see?
Largely the same as to where it was.
There was one point where I wasn't even sure if it was moving or that it was even a video. And then a bird flew by. So then I was like, is this a picture or a video? But no, they did slowly creep it out over there. I mean, it takes some work and they got it there. So that's great. So hurdle cleared.
We got this text earlier. Y'all got the link to the ship in Baltimore. Now I'm curious.
Right. Now they need to see it.
I hope it was worth it. 8:41 on Wisconsin's Morning News. One thing to watch today, but likely only today. We'll see what they have to say. I'll tell you about that in a moment. Another sort of odd, kind of lighter moment in Wisconsin Republican Party politics. I'm going to play something here. You tell me what we're listening to.
Yep. All right. So that's, again, there's no debate on the floor. The motion is ruled out of order.
You're a little gavel pounding, tap.
A little polite tap there.
Excuse me.
Yeah. Can we have some order here in the hall? The motion is out of order. No, can we just... So what you have here is the presiding officer at the Republican convention, statewide Republican convention in Appleton over the weekend. He's trying to get control of the room. This happens from time to time.
Yeah.
You know, you have the party apparatus is doing its business, and the Democrats will do theirs, June, next month, right?
Mm-hmm.
They have their. So each state party has its annual convention, and they do a lot of business, and much of it is just wonky stuff that regular folks, even if you're a politically minded person who goes out and votes and follows the candidates and stuff, this is wonky stuff. The party platforms, and then part of it is when you meet for the convention, you have to establish rules and procedures for the convention.
Right.
It's just nerdy stuff. I used to like that, like Robert's Rules of Order and when the motion is and what's on the floor.
You were into that?
Yeah, it's interesting to me.
Usually, like any news that comes from these types of events are usually a straw poll. If you have a party that's going to, you know, run for governor or challenge for governor or
the
US
official
Senate
party endorsement, right, of a candidate or another. That's actually kind of what this was about. What you had here was, and I'm gathering from what was posted on social media, a group of delegates were pushing to hear from a potential challenger to Eric Hovde, and the rules didn't allow for it in that particular case. And you got guy at the podium trying to explain that, trying to tell people what's going on. At this point in the convention, you're hearing these chants from folks in the crowd saying, let her speak. They wanted to hear from this potential challenger to Hovde, whom, I'm sorry, I researched, I don't know. I think there are a couple of people who've suggested, yeah, I would challenge Hovde for the GOP nomination. Nobody particularly prominent, and I don't know who it is, this woman that they wanted to hear from. But Hovde, regardless, is expected to skate through the GOP.
Yeah, he's got the war chest. He's ready to go.
Right, and would face then Senator Tammy Baldwin, who's running for re-election for U.S. Senate. Nonetheless, this is what's happening at the convention. Some folks on the floor wanted to hear from this other woman.
So if you guys will calm down, I can explain. So we all passed the rules earlier today, the convention rules. The convention rules lay out how the endorsement process works and the time limit and when you need to apply to be on the endorsement ballot, to be on the list. And she did not meet those qualifications. She did not meet with the endorsement committee. So she's not allowed to speak at the convention.
Actually, my man's doing an okay job here.
Right?
I felt like he was like the referee in an NFL game. We have offsetting penalties. On the offense, we had this. And then on the diva, doing the whole explanation.
Right, yeah, walking you through it so we can all understand.
And I didn't recognize who was at the podium either. It wasn't Schimming, who's the party chair. So he wasn't running things at that point. It was just whoever was running it. But these folks wanted this lady to get the floor. And he's like, look, we do the rules. She didn't go through the things, so you're not going to hear from her. You can talk to her. She can talk to whoever she wants. She's not unwelcome here. We're not going to give her the floor. And they were just not having it.
All right. If you guys can please calm down. Silence, please. Should I bang it some more? All right.
I love that.
All right.
Come on, man. You were doing a good job. You explained the thing. Now bang that gavel.
Yeah.
No, it's done.
Take the room back.
That's right. We're moving on. Shut it. The rest of you go outside if you want to. You're like, come on, man. You can't tap the gavel. The gavel's not meant to be tapped.
Gotta bang that thing.
So one other thing I mentioned off top here to watch today in GOP politics, the same group in Racine County that failed spectacularly in their effort to force a recall election against Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, they are at it again, promising something today. Big news. This is the group that promised an overwhelming number of signatures to force that recall election earlier this year, producing instead, thousands of signatures from people clearly outside the district, falling short of delivering enough valid petitions to force that election. And moreover, Voss's people even alleging potential illegal methods in gathering those signatures. So not a great track record for this group. This same group now, not leaving well enough alone, it seems, because another thing to consider, Voss and everybody in the Assembly and the Senate, not the Senate necessarily, but everybody in the Assembly is up for re-election in a few months. So even if this recall effort had been successful, it wouldn't have been till the summer that it was.
It doesn't make any sense.
Right.
It really doesn't.
Well, this same group now, again, is promising some sort of major announcement. I've gotten multiple emails on this. It's advertising a, quote, major press conference to be held today at the Racine Recall Committee headquarters in Union Grove. I mean, who gets to decide whether it's a major press conference? You may have all kinds of things to say. Unless anybody shows up, you just had announcements in right. a press conference. And secondly, whether or not it's major, we'll see. It's starting to feel like Lucy and Charlie Brown with the football, you know. This group over and over again is promising big news and promising big results and failing to deliver each and every time. So how many times are we going to bite? I guess we'll monitor it, but I feel like we've seen this movie before and it ends the same way every time. So we'll keep an eye on it. I wanted to put on your radar today. It's happening. And if some sort of serious effort to recall Voss or do something else there is mounted, it'll be worthy of coverage. But we'll decide whether or not it was a major press conference from the Racine Recall Committee. That is coming up later this morning.
Should I bang it some more?
Bang it some more.
All right.
WTMJ, W277-CV, and WKTI HD2 Milwaukee from the Annex Wealth Management Studios. This is News Radio WTMJ, a Good Karma brand station.
WTMJ forecast is sponsored by Dave Dre Camp Heating, where your comfort is their family's tradition. Through the first round of these showers and storms today, more expected with some of the storms on the strong side, possibly this afternoon and evening, high of 72 degrees. And then tomorrow is the greater risk for severe weather. Maybe an isolated storm in the morning and then some evening storms on Tuesday where severe weather is possible.
Hey, welcome back. I know you spent a few days in New York bringing your daughter home from school.
Go pick up my daughter after her freshman year in school in Manhattan.
We talked about you last week, wondering if, did you go see the portal?
I didn't even know this was happening. Well, New York's a big place, so.
So the portal was this like video connection, 24-hour stream from New York to Dublin. So you looked in what appeared to be a portal and you'd see people in Dublin
super
looking at
cool.
you.
Where is it?
I don't know. It's in New York someplace.
That's the thing. You think like, well, I'm in New York. It could be. You're so far away from. You can be so far away right. from anything.
They have switched it now, though. So Greg did the story during his pancake breakfast special on Friday that they had to shut it down because humans were being humans by grinding on it or showing skin or doing things they shouldn't do on the.
Hey, Dublin.
So now it's been
something for you.
Now it's been reopened right. with limited hours and new guardrails to deter any shenanigans, if you will.
I would have gone to see that. I'll tell you what else that was on my radar. I really wanted to do this for you. I wanted to go see the Trump show.
That would have been awesome.
I wanted to go outside that courthouse.
Just see the circus
and just
outside.
See the circus, right? Or just like see with my own eyes, what is this setup? What does it look like? It just never worked out. And like I said, everything is... You think, wow, you're in Manhattan right there. Well,
not really.
Nothing's right there, right? So it just never quite worked out. But I had half a mind to try and check it out. But.
Michael Cohen back on the stand today, and closing arguments could be tomorrow in that case, by the way.
So WTMJ's Political Power Hour with Steve Scafidi is up next at 8:58 on Wisconsin's Morning News.
Ireland was doing the heavy lifting at the start, drug use, twerking, and then there's one set of boobs who are like, we can't be having that.